I think that we can and should expect that if the president does
the president doesn't get to nominate a Supreme Court justice anymore? It's literally an express power in the Constitution. What are you talking about? And that's not a load-bearing thing? That the president just loses his Supreme Court? Bro, get me the fuck out of here. This term. After he failed to overthrow the election. Sure? Bro. Yeah, evil. These people are evil. Like, they'll defend Gallows. Remember, he would.
Let's say the Democrats pack the court to 13. They give themselves a majority. Now the Republicans have taken power again in 2032. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at a court that was packed 5 years previously by the Democrats.
Oh my God, this is such a good question.
Are you going to fire up a stream on your channel and say, hey, don't pack the port, Republicans, because there's an escalation here. You can't do it back to them. We have to stop this right now. Will you come out and say that in 5 years' time?
I think at that point we're in the end game.
No. Oh, it's such a good question, Dad. No. Oh my God, that was such a good question.
Nitzel Rata for $20 says, I don't agree with Dev, but Ryan retweeting Ace's post sharing Dev's docs was really scummy. I see you in the chat, Ryan. Your kids deserve a stronger, less slimy father. Well, insults aside, what is this situation here? Someone shared your home address?
Wait, Ace? Like the guy?
Yeah, that's another. Ace is like a
shared your docs?
Yes,
Ace is a Destiny stan. Why would he be sharing your docs?
No, he's not. No, Ace is like a far right guy. He's like an ANCAP.
What?
Wait, which? Maybe we're talking about a different Ace.
We must be talking about a different Ace.
Yeah.
Okay.
So ever since I ever since I stopped hanging out with Sargon after like the whole D&D drama blew everything up and the stuff with Rags, and I kind of walked away from the Sargon group. There has absolutely been a group of people who are much more right-wing than me. A lot of them are former viewers of mine, and they have been kind of stalking me around platform to platform. Anytime I go on to like a show, they'll be like, oh, you shouldn't be platforming this guy, like that sort of stuff, right? It's all just gay internet drama. However, my full name, I never put it out there. You can find it on Kiwi Farms. It's all over Kiwi Farms. The cow board doxed me initially, and you can find my name all over Kiwi Farms, but I never put it out there. And Ace clipped out the most inflammatory comments from the debate, tagged in the FBI and the RCMP, which is Canada's FBI.
Oh my God.
And then posted my full name and said, this man needs to be investigated. Needs to be investigated.
And especially like, in Canada, you're going to be in jail. Holy shit.
Oh no. But yeah, here's the thing though. So Ryan retweeted it and I was like, Ryan, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, if you believe you beat me in the debate, fine. You know, everyone has their views, but like retweeting this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then after I said that, Ryan unretweeted it and then I thanked him for doing so. And so.
Okay. Well, that's
yeah,
good.
I saw that. I
appreciate that. Yeah.
Okay. And just to be clear, everyone said it's a different Ace.
Yeah.
It's a different Ace, yes.
It's a different Ace.
Not the Ace from our chat.
Sorry for besmirching your good name, Ace.
Yeah.
People are claiming in the chat that it's not a docs and it's been publicly available on YouTube fandom websites and that even you've posted it. Is this true?
I have not posted it myself, no. And it is publicly available and it is going around because it's been available for so long, but I've never put it out there. I've never given my consent for it to be out there. And also, a core component of doxing is taking someone's personal information and then posting it in a way specifically meant to intimidate. And very clearly that's what Ace was doing.
Just before, because I don't want to talk about things that don't matter. You offered some other rationales in your video, but you're sticking to just that one tonight.
Well, the other rationales are—they're not as important as this one.
Okay,
like, if those rationales didn't exist, this one would still be important. This would still carry it as well. Because I think the other rationales were like the 13 circuits and the English common law tradition, and that should be important to conservatives who want to conserve tradition. But it's not the main point.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna. These are the points you want to talk about that I'm not gonna bother addressing.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
So okay, yeah, I mean, I think that's the heart of it in the spirit of keeping this short and sweet. I've been on Wick's show and taken the position that what the Republicans did with Merrick Garland was a norms violation and problematic as such. So I'm not walking that back. I've always thought that was a problem, even though I liked the justice that came out of it. Like that doesn't make it not a norm violation. The problem with court packing is
it's a much bigger
opens, and by court packing I mean adding seats to the Supreme Court. opens a can of worms that what McConnell and the Republicans did does not open.
Really?
Which is the risk of kind of like infinite regression.
Where the funny thing about him saying that is that this opens a can of worms that the other guys didn't. Why are we talking about this right now? Because the other guys did open the can of worms. That's why we're talking about this. But somehow they didn't open the can of worms. This is the child adult thing again. Like, well, hold on. If you guys do this, shit's going to get fucked. And it's like, but didn't shit get fucked when you guys did this? Well, yeah. But like, it's going to get like really fucked if you guys do it, though. I'm like, what? Excuse me? What?
You just keep adding to the Supreme Court and you get up into a cycle of reprisals. And while we've lost a lot of norms in our country over the last 15, 20 years, there are some norms that I would call load-bearing norms. Meaning,
oh my God.
They are the sort of norms that they actually do hold up the entire constitutional order.
Load-bearing norms that hold up the entire constitutional order like a thing that is enshrined in law and is not even in the Constitution. The number of fucking Supreme Court judges. Oh my God. Oh my God.
There's a lot of them that you can lose. Like, it turns out you can open the door to partisan gerrymandering, and I don't think it's going to destroy the country. This one's a load-bearing norm. If we open this can of worms, I'm not sure how we recover, and I can get into the reasons why I think this is very different. And because of that, you know, if the Republicans, for example, did to the Democrats what the Republicans did to them and withheld advice and consent from a nominee for purely partisan reasons, I'd say, man, I said it was a bad thing when the Republicans did it. I'm going to say it's a bad thing when the Democrats do it, but I understand tit for tat. I get it. I understand why they're doing that. But this is a... Court packing would be both an escalation and one which would lead us into a situation that would fundamentally risk the country in a way that very few.
Also, he'll never admit this, of course, because Republicans can't. Just so you know, the reason why he's okay with a tit for tat kind of on us stealing a Supreme Court justice from them is because realistically it's not going to matter. They have a 6-3 court right now. If we manage to maybe kind of sort of steal one in the future, maybe we flip it to like a 5-4 court. They still have a majority, right? So he doesn't really care that much. Now, if this was a 5-4 court already, he would not have that opinion. Garen fucking teed. He's always okay with the Republicans leading with the big norm violations. He's not okay with the Dems doing it. Like, I think an interesting question for him would be, instead of saying that you're not okay with the Democrats court packing, can you say something that you are okay with the Democrats aggressing with? Because them stealing a Supreme Court pick, McConnell stealing a Supreme Court pick, that was upping the ante. So what can Democrats do to up the ante? Not just the same thing back. What can they do to up the ante?
Policy proposals or norm violations could. And that's the reason why court packing must be rejected. And I have no reason to believe that you support kind of the broader constellation of policies that I took issue with Pisco for. So I'm not going to talk about those unless you like.
Which policies were those? Just so I'm clear.
Oh, the broader constellation that kind of led to the confrontation I had with Pisco was he supports breaking the filibuster, which means that you could pack the court with 51 votes instead of 60.
Based.
Then packing the court to 13.
Based.
Then packing the Senate by recognizing additional states that would be relying on Democratic votes, which you can do without amending the Constitution.
Based.
If you break the filibuster, it's just a bare majority.
Based.
Which would essentially lock the Republicans out of power and allow appointing of, like, essentially judges who could... I don't think Pisco would admit this point, but who could or would rewrite the Constitution from the bench because there'd be nothing Republicans could do about it. So that broader constellation of policies is much, much worse than even just court packing is. And if I think court packing is very bad, that one's well out of bounds. And I would say the position that Pisco holds is akin to the position that John Eastman held about Mike Pence deciding the presidential election.
Oh, my God.
Which is, I think, an inappropriate position for a lawyer to hold.
Okay.
But, you know, I have no reason to believe that you support all of that.
Right. I mean, I don't really know Pisco that well. I've talked to him a handful of times. I wouldn't necessarily say that we're politically aligned because I think he gives far too much deference to some of the communists in his midst. And I think that's a problem. However, when it comes to this stuff, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about it. The only question I really have that's kind of on the tip of my tongue is, if the Democrats were to pack the court, is that illegal?
No, it's not illegal. That's not the question.
How is it load-bearing?
It is my question, though.
It's not illegal.
Right. So what's the problem?
Okay.
They can do it, right?
Yeah, but how about this? It's legal for everyone to do it. So, for example, the Republicans have, if they wanted to, they have the political power tomorrow to do the following. They could break the filibuster, then use the broken filibuster. There's an island, or a few islands that are disputed between Mexico and Texas. They're in the Gulf. You know what those look like to me? A state. Recognize those islands as a state with like 15 people. Now they had extra votes in the Senate. Pack the Supreme Court to 13 or 15 or 17 or whatever the number is. They could appoint any justices they wanted. Justice Mike Lindell, Justice Alex Jones. Like, there's no 1, constitutional 000. Limit on what? Who they could appoint. And the Democrats have no numeric ability to stop them from doing it. They could do whatever they wanted. And you know what? If you took all those steps it would be 20 years before the Democrats could regain power because of how badly you would reshape the political map. I would call that overtly tyrannical and a problem. I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a bad thing to do. But I don't think it's better if the Democrats plan to do it. I think it's a bad thing to do. So, I mean, I guess my question is, it's legal for the Republicans to do that. Is the legality something that makes you think that it's a thing we should support?
At this point, I think so, yeah, because the Republicans have behaved absolutely fucking terribly, and they need to be completely fought with every possible measure. So here's the thing.
Well, just to be clear, his question was, do you think that,
okay, so because you said that the Republicans currently have the political will to do this. I didn't say they have the political will.
I said they have the political power.
Okay, right. Well, similar enough. I don't think they actually
No, that's totally different.
Okay, hear me out, because if they actually did, they would have, all right? I believe that, let Dev finish his statement, though.
Sure, go ahead. What do you believe, though, please?
So, like, a couple of days ago, maybe it was a week ago, I don't remember the exact timeline, but Trump straight up said on his Truth Social that he wants to turn the SAVE Act into an omnibus bill. He's ordering the Republicans to get rid of the filibuster themselves. Trump's issuing all these orders. He wants this shit done. And it turns out that even though the Republicans actually hold all these offices and all these seats, he doesn't actually have enough of a coalition to order the Senate to do what he wants. If he did, the Republicans would be doing it right now. So I don't actually believe this point of yours that, oh, the Republicans could do this. No, they can't. No, they cannot.
Dev, your question, this is why I said you misunderstood me. I said politically they have the power, meaning if they had the will, it is legal for them to do everything I just said. It would not be illegal. Yeah. They could do it. You asked me earlier, you said my question is it legal? And if it's legal, the implication was that it's okay. And I'm saying it is legal for the Republicans to do a vastly tyrannical scheme that would lock Democrats out of power for a generation at least. Do you think it's a good thing for them to do it? They ought to do it just because it's legal.
I mean, no, but that's because the Republicans actually are a tyrannical power at this point in the United States Republic.
What?
Yes, they absolutely are.
This would make Democrats tyrannical.
There are two different moral standards here.
But Dev, the Republicans, as you just pointed out,
aren't doing
this.
They
have the political power, are not doing this.
Because they don't need to.
The very same scheme that PSCO is laying out, this kind of like grander scheme, is something they could choose to do. But
they already have the power. They already own the Supreme Court. They don't need to.
Because it's so tyrannical. So saying that the Democrats should do something that's so tyrannical that the evil, quote unquote, barbarian Republicans won't do it is kind of a weird point. Like, how can you fight tyranny and fascism by doing a thing that's so awful that even your political enemies who you think are limitless in their deprivation won't do?
Listen, they're not choosing not to do it because it's a norm violation. They're not doing it because they can't. That's really it.
They don't
Trump
need to.
Can't get the votes together to do all the things he's
Why
been asking
can't
Republicans
he?
Because
to
they
do.
Already control the Why Supreme Court!
Because there's just enough Republicans who understand that basically, their entire side of the aisle is rotten down to the core.
No,
and
that's not why.
They're
cowards, no.
They're hoping if they just keep their eyes closed until Trump leaves office, hopefully, in 2029, that things will go back to normal. Unfortunately, things won't go back to normal until the Republicans have been punished for all of the things they've done.
So the irony of this, right, is that, you know, you are saying that the Democrats should do something that the evil Republicans
won't do
because some of the Republicans think it's a very bad and dangerous idea, even if it's not all of them. Now, I could quibble with you, but even if I just accept your articulation of why the Republicans aren't doing it, that means you are advocating for a step
that even the Republicans won't do, that you say are evil.
Even the Republicans who you despise won't do it. It doesn't strike you as a problem to advocate for your side to do something that's
please,
so tyrannical
Dev,
that
please.
The other,
don't
the
let him get away with this
that
point.
Hate and despise won't touch.
You had your hand up, Wick? Did you?
No, answer that question and then.
Sure. Yeah. It's mainly because the Republicans, they just don't have to do these extreme things.
Because they already have
they
to.
They already hold
Thank
all the levers
you.
Of power.
That's why.
Trump's still doing tons
well,
of
just,
ridiculous
and they have the
bullshit
Supreme Court.
Without stepping up to these extremes. The Republicans don't have to do this stuff to do all the institutional damage they're currently doing to the United
kind
States.
Kind of. Close
oh,
enough.
No, but if they did this, they could do all kinds of stuff. They could pass the SAVE Act. They could do all kinds of alterations to the way that voting is done in the country.
Like getting rid of the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act? Like making it so that gerrymandering for political purposes is now an enshrined Supreme Court opinion, and they did that on the back of axing the second part of the Voting Rights Act.
I have 12 more minutes to stream. I hate listening to this fucking, this fraud fuck. Dude, I hate this guy so much. It's okay. I don't know why it's quiet. Blame Wick. I don't know. You guys don't cry anywhere near enough in other people's fucking streams, okay? I don't know why it's so quiet.
judges who are going to interpret the Constitution more consistently in favor of Trump. He lost the National Guard case. He lost the tariff case. He lost the abortion pill case. Those things could all be fixed with court packing. He could,
which is why Trump is trying to push it. Yes, yes.
And he's not, literally,
he posted several times that he wants them to do this.
The plan that I outlined, which was much more extreme than just filibuster, nuke the filibuster, expand the Senate and pack the Senate by adding states for partisan purposes, pack the Supreme Court with justices who are going to do what you want them to do, plus extra stuff that we could get into. That is an extraordinarily extreme tyrannical view. And by your own admission earlier, you said the Republicans aren't doing it. So yes, the Republicans aren't doing it because it's tyrannical. I don't think you can have it both ways. I don't think you can both say the Republicans aren't doing it because they know it's tyrannical. They're not going to do it. And the Republicans are currently doing it because President Trump said something about the filibuster. I think that you, what I'm trying to square up for you is that this package that you are endorsing, I'm surprised you're endorsing it because it's a crazy thing to endorse, but this package that you have opted to endorse is so vile.
This is like the dumbest possible fucking way that you could fucking have the stupid fucking argument.
Should co-sign on this. It's a crazy thing to co-sign on.
Ryan, your democracy is already done. All right, it's over at this point. You have a vice president who's currently in office who said he would have listened to the Eastman plan. All right, so as soon as the next presidential election happens, you're gonna have Vance in that seat.
What's catching up?
And he's gonna be presented probably with more false slates of electors, and he's gonna be like, "Oh well, I don't know, but maybe I should actually follow the plan this time." Things are already at that point. Okay, okay. I've watched some of your stuff, and I have no idea how you don't understand this. Maybe you just kind of live in La La Land or something. I don't know, but things are already cooked.
I missed.
All right, it's done. At this point, the Democrats must simply lock the Republicans out of power for a generation. Okay, it has to happen until MAGA is ripped out of the American Republic root and stem. There can be no peace.
Okay, so if that is the position, and this is what I've been saying for the longest time, which is that, I don't think we're
Rob loses his mind every disparity. He hammers the shit out of his keyboard while typing angry things while they're on stream. 44-minute video link. Thank you, Akilo.
But if we are where you say we are, which is a crazy fucking thing to say publicly, but if we are where you say we are, then why complain about norm violations at all?
What do you mean?
If we're at the black
who complains? We already expect you fucking losers to do it.
Are just going
to
be doing
no one cares anymore. No one brings it in. It's like, oh there they are again.
Norms at that point. Why shouldn't the Republicans do all these things I've outlined? Because they have political power right now. If only for expediency, if only for your own self-preservation, isn't it kind of dumb to say that publicly?
Oh my
because
God.
If the Republicans believed you, if the Republicans believed the thing you just said, then it would be totally rational for them to do the most tyrannical, diabolical things imaginable, and there's fuck all the Democrats can do about it. They have no power to stop it. So I guess I'm saying, what is the point you're making here? You seem to be advocating for the Republicans to do the thing that you hope they don't do.
Well, no, I'm not advocating for that because the Republicans are bad and the Democrats are good. The Democrats should take power back and do the right thing.
Okay.
The Republicans shouldn't. But hold on. This is a moral argument. I mentioned legality before specifically because, yes, the Republicans can do all these things, and it would be rational for them in their position to do all these things. But I don't need to care about what's rational for the Republican position because the Republicans are moral lepers. They do simply need to be crushed. That's that. Yes.
So your position is simply rule for thee, not for me. That's what you can boil down to.
I mean, in the way that an aggressor shouldn't.
Said this before. I'm just gonna. I have to memorize like a snappy way to say this. But don't ever come at me with rules that you don't follow ever. I don't ever for the rest of my life. I do not ever want somebody to criticize me ever for a rule that they think I'm not following that they don't follow. I don't give a fuck about appeals to hypocrisy or whatever fucking bullshit. You do not have the right to bring that issue up ever. Fuck, get the fuck out. Don't ever let somebody do this to you. It's so cringe. It's so fucking cringe. This is subhuman behavior.
Using violence, but a defender should, yes.
Okay, well, if your position is that the Democrats get to be tyrannical because Republicans bad, but the Republicans ought not be tyrannical because Republicans bad, seems to be your position, you might see why I call that tyrannical during modern day debate. By the way, I appreciate the candor. I think that is the position. I think peace goes too chicken shit to admit it, but that is the position, and I appreciate you being honest about it. But that's why I called it tyrannical on modern day debate, because it is. It is an overt call to tyrannical imposition of power of one side against the other, and I actually don't even hear you disagreeing with that. I think you agree with that. It's just you think it's good to do tyrannical things.
It's tyrannical in the sense that the American revolutionaries were tyrannical cynical against the British when they threw them off.
No, that
so,
it's
so. You, based, so I mean, that's a wild statement, but your point is
it's absolutely okay. You're an educated man. I'm sure you've read the Constitution. Yeah, I'm sure you've read at least some of the Federalist Papers, right?
Probably not.
There's a good chance.
Of course, yes. Now, what was the purpose of the Second Amendment?
You don't need to go to the Second Amendment. Go to the Declaration. It's better.
No. I'm going to the Second Amendment because I actually like this one. Because you know what? I've hung out in so many libertarian spaces, and during COVID and even before, you had like these memes, and it was like George Washington wearing sunglasses, and he's like, if it were me and my homies, we'd be stacking bodies right by now. And I totally respected those memes because they were honest and straightforward, and they made no qualms about it. The Second Amendment is for shooting tyrants.
Yeah, that's why I say you don't need to go to the Second Amendment. Go to the Declaration.
Okay, but the Declaration of Independence is not part of our law or whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
To secure these rights, meaning our natural rights, our God-given rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Wow, epic.
Right.
It does go
on. And just, I just want to make it clear, we've taken a little bit of a turn from court packing, and now we have entered another territory. If you guys want to continue in this territory,
well,
we can.
But I actually think this is illuminating because I think people who watch my stream know why I did what I did in the modern day debate. But I think this is actually a good explanation of why I did what I did in the modern day debate. And with Peace Corps, because the reason is when somebody approaches you and says, I think I am justified in imposing tyrannical power upon you.
Which is what all the Republicans do, by the way.
Not,
that's what all the Republicans do,
syllogism.
By the way.
Let's talk about your argument. The correct response is get fucked, tyrant. Right? It is not logical to engage in logical debate with somebody who wants to tyrannize you. And I appreciate your honesty, but all I'm hearing from you is that you feel justified in tyrannizing people who believe the things that I believe.
No, the issue is that Trump is the tyrant. He is the one currently
says
doing
you.
The tyranny.
Says you.
Yes.
Says who's
me,
to
I'm
say?
Correct.
Couldn't we all disagree? Remember, I said at the beginning of the stream. Who says who? Anybody could be that.
Well, let Dev go first.
Anybody could be that. There's no fact
of
the matter. Anybody could be.
To steal 2020, right? Like that's not in debate at all. We both agree.
Did you try to steal 2020? I don't know.
Yeah, I've never defended Trump with the false light of electors scheme. Do you know my voting history? I just make it might be helpful.
Yeah, I think I know. I've seen a bunch of your stuff. Yeah.
I preferred Trump in 2024, but did not vote for him because of
oh
the
my God.
Stuff.
Vastly preferred right. Trump in 2024.
So that makes him a tyrant. Period. Like we're already past that line. He tried to steal an election. He failed, but now he's a tyrant.
Well, you can't
be like, oh no, he's not. Oh, it's subjective. Oh, it's just your opinion. He's a tyrant. He's trying to steal the election.
I found that disqualifying. But do you disagree that he was validly elected in 2024?
Of course, yes.
Okay, so he was validly elected in 2024.
The Americans elected a tyrant. Yes.
Okay, I have not seen him do anything in this term that remotely approaches the level of tyranny of the prescriptions that you're describing.
This term. This term. After he failed to overthrow the election.
Sure?
Bro.
Yeah,
evil. These people are evil.
Like, keep in mind.
I mean, hold
they
on,
are.
Just real quick, because now
they'll defend Gallows. Remember, he would. And he probably already has. He probably defended Trump
and
all the execution
like
tweets. Those are that's
said,
Gallows. Those are Gallows, by the way.
Because holy shit.
Are corruption and tyranny the same thing?
No, but they're linked for sure.
No,
they're for sure.
No,
they're
not.
Actually rather distinct.
They're totally different.
Do you
totally
think
different.
That there
semantics
are tyrants
war.
Who are completely incorruptible.
They
go hand
in
hand.
Retarded semantics.
Not, they are not logically entailed or related.
Oh,
they're,
what?
Can you name
one?
He's pulling a Pisco now. After
no,
insulting Pisco, now
totally.
He's pulling a Pisco.
My point is, they are not the same thing. You could be tyrannical without being corrupt.
Can you name an example of this ever happening?
He's going to just any autocratic regime? No. How could he be tyrannical?
Not. I mean, I think it's unlikely, but my point is they are not the same thing.
Sure. Just for my edification, would you say that lots of corruption might be
audio.
A sign
I hate
that
Wicks
someone
audio.
Might be a tyrant?
And I hate
like,
you in my
be
chat
because like,
you've never complained
oh, there's a ton
to
of corruption
not even
here.
One time about it.
Maybe
and
we
I hate
should
all
look
of you
into
in my
whether
chat.
This is
I hate
a
all
tyrant.
Of you. I hate all of you. I hate all of you. I hate all of you.
No, not really.
No?
It would depend on what they're doing with power. Like, in the Teapot Dome scandal with Harding.
He misspoke.
Like back in the day.
Humiliating.
Right? There were obvious bribes. That was proven that there were bribes, and those bribes were used to secure, you know, to use the power of the federal government to benefit private individuals. It was like case proven corruption, like proven at like a level of a court.
Go back and go through that door you just unlocked.
I don't think that Harding was being tyrannical, or that his, you know, subordinates were being tyrannical. I think they were being corrupt. They are different things.
The issue is, and I'm coming at this from my realm of education because I was working
how
on
far
a,
back do I have to go?
Political history degree before dropping out to do YouTube. In fact, it was a master's degree, but
not more like so, a so masturbation degree.
Is that you have
just kidding? Sorry.
Corrupt politicians, corrupt leaders. That is inherently tyrannical, specifically because when they engage in their corruption, they are overriding certain, we might call them democratic or public, not just norms, but mechanisms, right? So, for example, you know, the free market should function such that you have like buyers and sellers, you have contracts, you have bidders. And however, if you're just, if you're in power and you're giving preferential contracts to your friends, for example, and you're not having an open bid on those contracts, that is both being corrupt.
Was it over here?
You're benefiting your friends,
or do I need to go like way?
It's being tyrannical because you're undermining these public institutions. So these two things actually do historically go hand in hand. And Trump, by the way, is the most corrupt president of my lifetime.
True.
And it's not even fucking close.
But pause.
True. Pause.
See, the reason that I think there's a huge disconnect here is you could have a administration that's rife with corruption. And
they wouldn't
do
be tyrannical.
Nothing to change the way democracy functions. They do nothing to change the way the vote works. And then they eventually get voted out of power.
Oh, and it's all
they're
good.
They're not tyrannical. They're corrupt. When you're tyrannical, it means that you are removing from the people the ability to govern themselves. Right? That's what tyrannical is. And I haven't seen the Trump administration do anything that remotely reaches the level of tyranny that you've described. The
voting lists, requests, FBI going into states to take for their to take over their voting lists like they did for Fulton County, foisting the pardon on Tina Peters, who was engaged in election corruption,
and I
telling the USPS that they can't deliver mail-in ballots unless they have the states have already given their voter rolls to the federal government.
Rely on me showing up, breaking party lines, and being on your side because I am opposed to tyranny. So, but I like
retard.
I guess the point I'm making is how could you possibly justify the level of tyranny you're talking about? And I've seen this very commonly on the left. Like, people are talking. I remember I watched a Destiny stream and I was aghast.
Oh, said, like, aghast.
The problem with the Trump administration is that they won the vote and they are legitimately elected, which is worse than Nazi Germany. Because at least in Nazi Germany, you could say
correct.
That there was some kind of power grab. Here, the problem is that they got elected.
Yep.
And we need a way
that
to
we
find,
elected a
we
fucking
find
tyrant.
A way to punish them, even if it's not legal to do so.
Extra legal. I need to check my audio. People are saying I'm blowing them out when I talk. Okay. How is it, gang? Okay, sorry. Go. I didn't mean, but everyone's yelling at me at this point. So go ahead.
When I was that a hate brigade? Did I just hate brigade?
That's improved. Yeah. So again, to circle back to the court packing topic, like if the point was that the Republicans did this thing with Garland and that was fucked up, so we should do the same thing back. He wouldn't even be mad. I don't think I'd even take that debate.
What if we did it twice? He's okay with it happening one time because they'll still have a Supreme Court majority. That's the only reason why he's okay with it. It's so trans. Oh my God.
Prompt. I think I'd have to concede that one. Like, I think, yeah, that probably would happen. But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about something totally different.
So, just that was very long, and there's like three distinct topics in there. And I really only have the third one still in my brain. Sorry. But you're basically saying that. I understand what you said. You're saying that should the Democrats come into power and they hold the Senate, but it's still a Republican president, they should simply not vote on a new Supreme Court justice in the same way that McConnell did.
Yeah,
basically, give them a taste of their own medicine.
Would it piss me off? Would I be like, shit, that's bad? Yeah, it would piss me off. I'd say that's bad, but like, I think they're justified in doing it. I think the norm's been broken. And the thing about that, like, which is withholding advice and consent, is like the constitutional framework, is that it doesn't create open-ended court packing. Like, the real danger of adding to the court is. Let's say you guys pack to 13, and let's say you keep the Republicans out of power for like 20 years. When the Republicans get back in, they're going to pack to 20. And then when the Democrats get back in, they're going to repack. And when you do that 3, 4, 5 times, the entire concept of the rule of law, the entire concept of there being a governing constitution is basically gone. Like we're washing out the very fact that we have a constitution at all. And we're basically leaning into this glaring loophole where we can amend the constitution from the bench in a way that we don't have political will to do through the proper amendment process. So I think that that's very, very dangerous. But yeah, to answer your question, if the Democrats withheld advice and consent from a Republican nominee for purely political reasons, I don't think that that would, I think that that you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube on that one, as it were.
Okay.
Okay. The issue is that it's no longer just about the one McConnell seat, because there's since been, you know, a downstream effect that's happened ever since then, right? So if you're okay with the Democrats refusing to vote on a single hypothetical seat, would you be okay with the Democrats refusing to vote on let's say two hypothetical seats?
Oh, no.
I'd
go further. I don't think that norm exists anymore. I think that we can and should expect that if the president does
not... The president doesn't get to nominate a Supreme Court justice anymore? It's literally an express power in the Constitution. What are you talking about? And that's not a load-bearing thing? That the president just loses his Supreme Court? Bro, get me the fuck out of here. I can't. Okay. Okay, that's okay. All right. I love you guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Be careful. Stay safe. I can't. This guy is so fucking... Oh my God, he's so fucking retarded.
We both okay if Destiny jumps in?
Oh, Jesus. See, I'm blacklisted and stalked. This will be fun.
Okay. Destiny, if you want to jump backstage, you may. Okay, let me keep reading them before he gets here, and I have to stop. The only chance we have to force consequences until they stop. Did my stream just go down?
How about this?
I don't know. I don't know if your stream went down. I can't see you.
Okay. Are we still there, chat?
Chat, can somebody see Wick's stream? See if it's live.
Apparently, we're live. I hope we're here. Anyway.
Here, I do have another question for you then along that line.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, since I know that Destiny hopped in. You said that you watched my video. Turns out you didn't watch it. That's fine.
I watched part of it.
I understand. At the end of the video, I said the ideal solution that would not actually ruin everything. I do care about that. You know, despite us getting fiery, I do care about that at least somewhat, right? The ideal solution is that you have 13 Supreme Court justices, one for each circuit, and you have 6 left-leaning, 6 right-leaning, 1 as independent as possible. Is that a compromise that you would actually be okay with?
I don't think that that's the correct way to do it. If we wanted to do that, what I would suggest is, and I don't think it needs to be 13, but if we want 13, what you would do is what they've done in the past. Where when they expanded the court, they had it in staggered sections. So you'd say, you pass a constitutional amendment that says that the number is fixed at 13 and each presidential election, it scales up by 1 and you let the presidents fill those seats going forward. That, like, if we wanted to scale up to 13, that would be the way I'd prefer to do it.
Okay, I understand.
Part of this, by the way, is that there's a little bit of a distinction between, like, the way that, at least when I talk to Pisco about this, the way that he tends to view justices and the way that I tend to view justices. You know, like, Pisco would say Justice Kennedy is a conservative justice, whereas I would say, like, he's a non-originalist justice, and that kind of, we view him very differently. So, like, the import of who appointed the person is, like, a little bit less important to me than it seems to be to Pisco.
Okay. Destiny, welcome to the stream. What did you have to...
Okay, just as a quick thing, because we keep talking about, like, Pandora's box, which, by the way, is only ever on Democrats, not the open. Republicans open it all the time.
Before you do this, can I ask you a question?
Because the question that I have is...
Hold on, just real quick. Let Destiny get it out.
I need to clarify something.
It doesn't...
Am I blacklisted or are you stalking me? What's going on here, brother?
I'm stalking you and you're blacklisted. When we talk about doing the same thing that the Republicans do to block Supreme Court justices, it doesn't really matter if we do it one time. To have like a 5-4 court, would you be okay with them doing it 2 or 3 times in a row in exchange for what McConnell did?
I don't think the norm exists anymore. I think both sides are going to do it ad nauseum now. And I think now
it's just normal that a president for the last 2 years of their term no longer gets to have a Supreme Court pick if they don't control the Senate.
In our current political environment, I don't think you're going to get a Senate nomination if you don't control the Senate in your first day. I don't think you're getting a Supreme Court nomination through. I think that norm's gone. I think that sucks, by the way, which is why, you know, when I was asked about it on Wick Show years ago, I said, I thought that fucking sucks. I thought it sucked the Republicans did that. But like, that's
the
norm.
Can you explain
to
me I don't care about the virtue signaling. Can you explain to me how it's not more like when you invented this meaningless phrase and called it an institutional pillar or something that you couldn't pack the court.
A load-bearing norm.
Which is totally, which doesn't make any sense because it's, I don't know how that's load-bearing and not in the Constitution. It could be changed via legislation. How is it not a load-bearing norm that the President of the United States shall appoint or nominate Supreme Court justices and then with the advice and consent of the Senate have them appointed as a Supreme Court justice? How is that not way more important than just choosing more justices? That seems like a way more load-bearing norm than just having 14 justices.
I'm confused. Why would that be more load-bearing?
Because the president explicitly in the Constitution has the right to have a Supreme Court justice nominated, heard by the Senate, and then confirmed to the Supreme Court. It's like a...
No, he has the right to nominate, and the Senate has the right to advise and consent or withhold consent. He only has the right to nominate.
So you think it's perfectly fine if the Senate for 4 years doesn't...
I thought it was a norms violation, which I just said, but
it's
you're asking,
is it
legal?
Why, I don't know if Dev backed off on it all, but this is why you can't treat these people seriously, why there are no laws or whatever else that matters, the legal process or whatever. For you to say that the president
what
of the
else
United
would
States
it be?
Can just from taken, no, the obvious answer is that the Senate shall hold votes on Supreme Court nominees from the President of the United States. That's obviously true. For you to just hand wave all of that away and say, well, it's just a norm violation if for 4 years they decide not to do that, means your opinion is just deeply unserious on the matter. And that's why opinions like this should be completely discarded when it comes to figuring out, like, what are the load-bearing norms, the load-bearing aspects of our system.
Was it legal? Was it legal?
Was what legal?
What Mitch McConnell did, was it legal?
Sure.
Okay. So since it
would it be
was,
legal to pass, would it be legal to pass?
You've been on a fucking tirade. Let me finish my line of questions.
Let me ask you one. Would it be legal to pass legislation to pass the court?
If you're going
to
fucking blacklist me and stalk me, can you just at least answer my question?
He said yes to that like 2 hours ago.
All of you. One at a time.
This is Destiny's thing where he crashes the show and then one.
I just told you to shut up. I told everyone to shut up. Everyone's got to shut up. We can't do this if you're all going to talk over each other. Destiny, finish your point quickly, concisely. Then let Ryan go.
I just asked if it's legal to pass legislation to pack the court.
It is. So if it is not illegal, then what Mitch McConnell did, if we're saying it bad, it's bad because it's a norm violation, right?
I don't agree. I think it's bad because you're contradicting like one of the express powers of the presidency is the right to have a Supreme Court justice appointed.
But he doesn't have that right. If he had that right, it would be illegal.
No.
So it's not a norm violation. What's the point you're making? No, I said it was a norm violation. You said because I called it a norm violation, I can't be trusted. Now you're caught in this position where you have to admit it is a norm violation. That's the whole fucking point. Everyone agrees it's a norm violation. I agree on that. Josiah agrees on that. Pisco agrees on that. Dev agrees on that.
I don't care what any
you
of them
just
agree
can't
on.
Agree
it's
on
not
that
a
because
norm
you're
violation
caught in this fucking
for the
bad
Congress.
Faith logic chain.
It's not a norm violation for the Congress to seize from the president the ability to have a Supreme Court nominee's
brother. I said
just hold on, just so I can clarify, please. Destiny, do you think it was unconstitutional?
I would say yes, or at the very least,
there.
It absolutely
we
violates
bridged
the
gap.
Of the Constitution.
We communicated.
Yes.
Now we're on track.
Okay,
go ahead.
So since I asked you earlier, was it illegal, and you said no? How do you square it being illegal? Answer no. Unconstitutional? Answer yes. Which one is it?
Because legality and constitutionality aren't necessarily always at play with one another.
You think that if something violates the Constitution, that it might be legal?
Yes, of course. How do you think Supreme Court cases ultimately decide that a law is unconstitutional? It's because a law is passed at some point that is the law, and then eventually, maybe the Supreme Court hears it and it becomes unconstitutional. And then, or because they rule it unconstitutional, it becomes not the law anymore. They have to get rid of the law. So there are laws that can be
in
place. Well, but it's the law. Why are you laughing like you think you're cooking? Hold on. Let me see if you think I'm
no
good.
Idea what
you're telling
talking
you're telling
about.
Me
you're
no, I don't. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
You've been
I'm not caught
in
any trap. You can keep saying that.
And now you're doing,
hold on. So let me hear you say this.
Can you
every single law,
so
every
can
single
see the
law
hands on your
passed,
head. It'd be more
every
fun
single
that
law that's passed is constitutional?
No.
Oh, so then there might be laws that are in effect that are unconstitutional, right? So a thing could be legal, but unconstitutional, because the Supreme Court hasn't heard it yet,
but
right?
When they are, well, if it hasn't been ruled unconstitutional, Destiny, that's different. But when it is ruled unconstitutional, it is now illegal, because anything that is unconstitutional is illegal. That's what unconstitutional means.
The Supreme Court has heard it and overturned it, yes. But we can conceive of things that are both unconstitutional and legal, or things that are illegal and constitutional. It can happen, yes.
In the best possible faith, I'm going to try to apply that to what you're saying. You're saying that you thought it was unconstitutional but legal, and you said that's because of the Supreme Court hasn't ruled on it yet. So you think that if the Supreme Court were to hear a case about what Merrick Garland did, they would rule it unconstitutional?
I don't know. I'd have to look into it. I don't even know what the standing could be for that case to be brought. But I don't believe that it is within the power of the Senate, when you understand the composition of our government, for the Senate to decide, no, actually, the president is not going to have a Supreme Court appointment. We're not going to allow that to happen, ever.
Okay.
Do you think it would be...
Can you point me to the text in the Constitution that you think makes it unconstitutional for America, for Mitch McConnell to do what he did, since you're making that claim?
The whatever part says that the president shall nominate a Supreme Court appointee or whatever, and then with the advice and consent of the Senate.
He says, okay, I'll read it to you. He says, he shall nominate and by and with the advice and consent of the Senate shall appoint ambassadors and other public ministers, counsels, judges with the Supreme Court. So
yes.
You think that the Senate is obligated to give him consent?
Do you think that this reads that the Senate can indefinitely withhold consent?
I would say yes to my answer.
Would you say yes to yours? Yes. Okay. Well, we just fundamentally agree. So in your world, it would be totally okay if for 30 years the Senate just never allowed the president to have another nomination.
It would be, as I said very early on, it would be constitutional and a norm violation. That was the position I took at the very beginning that you said made me untrustworthy.
What does a norm mean to you?
Well, prior to what Mitch McConnell did, there was a norm that you wouldn't hold up a vote
What is a norm to you? What does that mean, a norm?
A political practice that both sides, I'm trying to come up with a definition on the fly, by the way, so I apologize if it's not totally glib. A political practice that both sides have abided by, which is not required by law.
Okay, I would say that the Senate is required constitutionally to allow the president of the United States to appoint Supreme Court justices. That has to happen. It's the function of our government. It is the check on where Supreme Court justices come from. That can't be optional. That can't just be a norm. That's crazy.
Well, okay, there's never been and there never will be a Supreme Court case ruling that for a variety of reasons, but you could take my word for it or look it up. You don't trust my legal judgment much, but I can guarantee you there is no such case and there never will be such case. But they says that he shall nominate and by and with the advice consent of the Senate shall appoint.
Yes. So correct. That doesn't say that they are allowed to never give advice or consent, right?
The Senate did not consent.
No, what do you mean? Who didn't consent?
The Senate did not consent.
What do you mean? It wasn't heard.
They didn't vote.
They don't have to vote no.
No, they didn't vote no. They didn't vote.
So what?
I can't. All right, I tried. Anyway, I just want to make that clear to the audience. They didn't vote. They didn't even call it for a vote.
Do you think that's the first time in history that someone let an appointment lapse without voting on it?
No, it's the longest absence in the Supreme Court where it was done for reasons that were expressly partisan, that were expressly not constitutional, not understood to be part of how the government shall work.
Well, Destiny, what you're describing sounds an awful lot like a norm violation because we're not talking about norms.
Because where do Supreme Court justices come from?
Because previous Senates have let judicial appointments lapse without voting on them so that they could let their guy, when he took office, do get the nomination. This has happened before. The norm violation was how long it was.
Let me just hop in here.
So another part of the video that you didn't watch, Ryan, is that I decided to go back through every single presidency from now until Nixon. And I decided to count up how many appointees were lapsed because the Senate did not vote on them. Because it's not just Supreme Court, the Supreme Court. It's also other justices, other functions in the executive branch. And there's been an escalating tit for tat of these appointments not being fulfilled and just not being voted on at all, whether it's yes or no. Since Nixon, the Republicans started the tit for tat. It's gone up every single presidency, pretty much. It went down a little bit under Clinton, but it's largely gone up every single presidency. And the first time it was ever done with SCOTUS, where they refused to vote on a SCOTUS pick, that was Mitch McConnell. That was a new norm that was violated.
Oh, that's not true. You just didn't start your history early enough.
What?
Okay, yes, I went back to Nixon. Yes, it could have been someone much earlier than Nixon. Okay.
Wait, what is the comparable thing to McConnell?
I did. Sorry, I screwed up my video. One second, guys. Apologies.
He's Googling the answer. He's Googling. Okay, sorry, I'm kidding. But
I didn't say it was. I am looking at my notes, but I didn't say it was comparable. What I said was it has happened before, and it has. When I did the count for preparation for the modern day debate event, I counted 5 times a Supreme Court justice has lapsed without being voted on. Now I will grant you they were much shorter periods of time than Merrick Garland. So the norm violation was
which
that.
Which presidents, by the way?
Yeah, out of curiosity. Two questions out of curiosity because I don't know the answer. When we talk about much shorter, like what was the amount of time? We're talking a month, a year?
It's substantially shorter. Like it would be like it would be like a couple months. For those though, okay. the compounding factor is that in most of those cases, the president withdrew the nomination and then put somebody else up. So, you know, like if you summed up the total of
all
the
people.
Wait,
so that doesn't even count then? Why would you even bring that up as an example?
Because the last one lapsed. There's
who
a series.
Hold
on. I do have to get my notes because I don't remember. No, I'm talking about like in the 1850s or something. It's like, I think it's President Fillmore.
Pre-antebellum.
No, the Civil War?
SCOTUS. Or not SCOTUS. Pre-antebellum America, or pre-Civil War America, I should say. Are we counting that? Like, I don't know. The Civil War fundamentally changed our country in a lot of ways.
Well, I mean, when I the debate with Pisco, like their examples of previous court packing that they were relying on came from that same time period.
Yeah, I'm
so.
Not Pisco though.
Okay. Well, no, but I'm saying, like, so, well, the crazy part about this conversation is the only thing we're talking about is whether or not what Mitch McConnell did was a norm violation, which by the way, I said it was.
Yeah, of course.
Well, what the fuck are we talking about?
We're talking whether it's constitutional or not.
You're saying norm violation because you know that's a meaningless phrase and it assigns no responsibility to the children that are of the Republican Party. But it's not just a norm violation. That is a power that is granted to the President of the United States. And for you to pretend that it's just a norm violation for the Senate to just revoke that indefinitely and to pretend like it's okay because you want to play a cute little language game, would you be okay with the president not having any of his cabinet level officials ever had a hearing on? Would that be okay to you?
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying it's constitutional. There's plenty
of
things.
Would it be constitutional if the Senate were to say, "Hey, we have a new president, and we're not going to have a hearing for any of his new cabinet members."
There are a lot of things that are constitutional and stupid. Yep, constitutional and good policy are not the same thing. Can be constitutional and bad.
So, do you think it'd be constitutional? It would be functional. It would be constitutional to say the president. We know that there's a new president in town, but we have a Democratic Senate. We're not going to have a hearing for any of his cabinet level officials. Not a single one.
It's constitutional, but a norm violation. It's constitutional, but bad.
Would you be more likely to say it's okay if you could push a button and to have a new Democratic president and a new Democratic Senate and everything else? Would you be more okay with them blocking all of the cabinet level official appointments for 4 years, committing to doing that for the next president, the next Republican president? Or would you be okay with them passing legislation to add 4 justices to the Supreme Court?
I have to pick between those two things?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were talking about your hypo is, would I prefer? Sorry, can you say it again? I lost the train.
One is where you have a Republican president and you have a Democratic controlled Senate for 4 years. And they say, you don't get it. We're not going to have a hearing for a single cabinet level official. No hearings for any of them. And then in the other world, the Democrats with the House and the Senate, they pass legislation to add 4 Supreme Court justices.
And then they fill those seats?
Yeah.
I would much prefer the no nominations side.
It's just absolutely brainless.
Well, the problem with court packing is once you do that type of court packing in today's day and partisan age, I don't see how you avoid a vicious cycle of like vendetta reprisals. And the vicious cycle of vendetta reprisals would be essentially the end of the rule of law and the Constitution. Well, I don't see a way to avoid it.
If that was the case, then it started with McConnell, and you should have had that opinion then, and with anyone near the ferocity that you have the opinion. Not a norm violation, norms you're talking about, it's less bad for the Democrats to pass a law to add 4 more justices than it was for McConnell to block.
No, I opposed it, but there's a limiting principle baked into denying advice and consent, because there's only so many times you can do it.
No. What do you mean? So many times you can do what?
Okay. Ryan, didn't you earlier say you would be fine with it happening you wouldn't be fine with it. That would be mischaracterizing. But you would expect it to happen in perpetuity.
I think that's going to be the norm going forward.
There is no limit to it.
No, there is a limiting principle. When I say no limiting principle, what I mean is if you get into a cycle of Supreme Court packing, one side does it, it's 13. The next side does it, it's 20. The next side does it, it's 40. Like you very quickly can get to a point where the rule of law just has no meaning anymore, and then they amend the Constitution in order to stop it.
How
they amend the Constitution?
Same way you amend any Constitution.
What do you mean? Incredibly easily.
No. This is critical. This is the critical point.
What?
The reason that court packing is so dangerous is that amending the Constitution is really, really hard, as it's supposed to be.
Let me finish the goddamn thought.
But court packing, if you were willing to break the filibuster, only requires a one vote majority in each house. So the problem is that you can amend the Constitution without having to do the rigorous process required to amend the Constitution, which requires supermajorities and ratification by the states.
Easy.
That's the problem.
How many neighborhoods are in D.C.? Break the filibuster. You need a simple majority. Add states. Just add 137 states. You've got plenty of fucking people in Congress to choose from. Amend the Constitution. Lock the Supreme Court there. You can kick out the 138 neighborhoods afterwards and go back to 50 states and boom.
Yeah, that is precisely the tyrannical approach that I chided Pisco for and chided Dev for, and I appreciate you endorsing, because now at least I know that the other side has no limiting principle.
We're already in tyranny. What do you mean? We're already in a tyrannical government. So, it's just a matter of practicing the power now. We're already there, buddy. What are you talking about?
So Wick, just keep in mind that the only one advocating for limiting principles in this entire conversation, though, Wick, I know you would if you were not moderating, was me. The evil Republican, you're not limiting the principles. Wait, hold on.
You have a 6-3 court. Of course your fucking smug ass is laughing about limiting principle. You already got everything you wanted. But I guarantee you that if we were to talk about blocking enough to remake a 6-3 Democratic court and then to find a way to block it or reestablish a norm so that you can't do this type of Supreme Court shenaniganery, which is, again, a ridiculous reading of the Constitution, that the Senate can just not exercise their power of advice and consent. That's ridiculous. Right. But you'd be singing a completely different tune. But of course, you're over here now like, whoa, well, it's limiting principle. Of course, you have a 6-3 court. There's no principle and there's no virtue here.
It can't be the case that I just get yelled at in stereo and can't respond. I did advocate for a limiting principle in the hypo that you raise, which is what if the Democrats return the favor on Merrick Garland? I said I would be mad politically because I'm on the right. Of course, I don't want bad things to happen to my team, but I said it would be appropriate because that norm has been violated and there is a tit and a tat is owed. So I actually took the position that the thing you said I would never oppose, I said, actually, I kind of get why the Democrats would do that.
And I think that norm
was vitiated.
Wait, hold on. Us blocking a Supreme Court pick is not a tat.
The point that I'm making, Destiny, is that
there are escalation.
But there are some escalations you don't come
back
from.
The ones Democrats would do?
No. Look, Bork was an escalation.
You say we won't come back. We've expanded the court before. You're just wrong historically. We have expanded the court.
I thought we weren't talking about Civil War examples, Destiny. I thought earlier you told me when I brought up Civil War examples that that's crazy. No one gives a shit about Civil War examples.
But now, suddenly, Destiny,
when you want to talk about Civil War era examples, now they're good. See what I mean? It just fucking, you don't care.
Are
you
familiar with something familiar with the concept called stare decisis? That when you say a Civil War example about a norm being violated, about maybe taking longer to hear a pick for a Supreme Court justice, you understand that carries less weight in law, or maybe you don't because you're an Alito fan and he doesn't believe in this, but you understand that that carries less weight in law than the Congress passing a law that the Supreme Court consents to and that the people of the United States seem to affirm, right? That you have totally different apexes of power. What does it mean that?
Can you summarize what you just said? Like, I know you're saying words.
Yeah, I can right now. You want to keep filibustering? Yeah, keep filibustering. Keep filibustering. Yeah, it's very simple. If you're trying to compare it to me,
put your camera on so we can see the triangles on your head.
Keep filibustering.
Let Destiny.
Yep, keep filibustering. Filibuster form, Wick. You're telling me that it's the same to say, well, there might have been a delay in hearing the appointment for a Supreme Court justice, that type of quote-unquote norm violation or whatever should carry the same weight as passing legislation with the entire Congress and the president in order to expand the Supreme Court? That is an intellectually bankrupt position.
I think that you just made up a position and you're ascribing it to me, which does sound kind of odd, but I don't think that I've said anything similar to what you just
said. Maybe we can run it through Claude for you. What did I just say that you didn't understand?
You said that I was drawing an equivalency between norm violations and legal processes in a way that seemed somewhat confused and I don't understand. But if you want to explain what it is.
It was unfair for me to point to historical examples near the Civil War because I called you out for pointing to a historical
examples from the Civil War. Yes.
What I'm telling you is that a historical example of a delay in appointing somebody for, you don't even know the time period, it could have been for a week, is not the same as the historical example of passing legislation to expand the Supreme Court.
Would it be helpful for me to read I found it in my notes since we were talking. I have my notes for the PSCO debate, so I do have it. I just don't know if you want to hear it or not.
Go for it.
Okay. It was a series of nominations which were drawn with one that ultimately lapsed at the end. So I'll just read the two paragraphs. On February 14th, 1853, President Millard Fillmore, a Whig, nominated McCow to fill the United States Supreme Court vacancy created by the death of Justice McKinley. Fillmore had attempted to fill the vacancy twice before, but was unsuccessful. The Senate tabled the August 1852 nomination of Bradford. The January 1853 nomination of Badger was also postponed. Fillmore offered to nominate Justice Benjamin, who had been elected to the Senate for a term beginning on March 4th, 1853, but he declined the position and recommended McCow. McCow's nomination was not acted on by the Democratic-led Senate, as it was late in the session, and Franklin Pierce, also a Democrat, was scheduled to succeed Fillmore as president on March 4th. So not acting on McCow's nomination would give Pierce the opportunity to submit a nomination of his own. Pierce ultimately nominated John Archibald Campbell on March 21st, and Campbell was confirmed by the Senate on March 25th. So what you had was a string of unsuccessful attempts to nominate, which were withdrawn because they were unsuccessful. And then ultimately, the nomination of McCow, McCow's nomination lapsed. The Democrats took over. They filled the seat. And I agree with you, by the way, the time period is shorter, which I said fucking it felt like an hour ago because talking to you is an endless eternity. But I think it was only about 15 minutes.
What was the time period between the nomination of McCow?
Shorter than McConnell, which I've already
said. Was it 12 hours or was it like 3 months or?
It looks like the McCow was a period of like a few weeks. The previous ones were, I don't quite know from this text. It doesn't quite say. I don't, but they were withdrawn. They didn't lapse. So I'm not sure.
Go ahead, Dev. I want to hear from Dev.
Yeah. So it turns out that Macau was a few weeks, but also he was in extremely poor health and he died several months later.
Bro, I can't with these concerns.
Okay.
Dude.
So, well, sorry. They didn't let him
try to get Palpatine in the Supreme Court. Like that was Merrick Garland, dude. Kill me.
Okay, well, if you want a virtue signal, that's fine. My point was there are examples of letting nominations lapse, which there are. Then my point was the time period was substantially shorter with Merrick Garland, which is what I said was a norm violation a fucking million years ago, which it was. And then you just grandstanded and filibustered about the fact that I've been proven 100% correct on. So I'm not sure what your criticism is of this point. Like, yes, these nominations have lapsed. Yes, the Merrick Garland was an escalation because the time period of letting it lapse with no vote was longer. This is what I said at the beginning of the conversation.
It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of the... Why was that funny?
I'm waiting for you to fill in this blank because I'm trying to figure out what it would be if not.
What do you
time.
Think I'm going to say? Try, get, take a guess.
No, I would you really like no you to idea. Say because you sure. have nothing. Go.
Okay, yeah, I can tell you. The problem was not a matter of time. This mm-hmm. wasn't a matter of time. It was the Republican Senate seizing for itself the power of the President of the United States to have his Supreme Court justice appointed. That's what it
not,
was.
That's not a power that's given to the President of the United States.
It absolutely
the President is. Has the power to nominate. That is the power the President has, the power to nominate. And then the appointment happens subject to the advice and consent of the Senate. The Senate can reject nominees. Do you think the Senate has to confirm his nominees?
They didn't hear it.
Sure, and they didn't hear McCall either.
They failed, who was dying in the last few weeks. It sounds like somebody's tried to see of a guy who already had a Supreme Court
but
justice.
If they were, was not if, them. Destiny, no, it's different. If they were constitutionally trying. Required, then they would have had to do it. But they weren't constitutionally required because they're not constitutionally required. All they have to do is advise, and consent. That's it. That's all the Constitution says.
So they do have to advise and consent? Then you agree then that McConnell was acting outside of the constitutional boundaries.
No, because the term advice and consent includes failing to give consent, which
okay.
they can do.
For the people in
and
chat,
they have
this
done.
Is why nobody serious takes serious the concept of originalism either, because this idea of like, well, what do these words mean? Well, maybe when they say with the advice and consent, well, not giving any advice and consent is kind of like a kind of advice and consent. So that's like the same thing. Okay. This is why nobody takes this judicial philosophy seriously and why you guys can invent whatever law you want at any point in time you want,
yeah.
because it's a ridiculous reading of the Constitution.
Are you done grandstanding?
No. Just to be clear, every single thing, yeah, I will. Every single thing that he is saying also equally applies as well to the president making treaties, to the president appointing all of his cabinet level officials, to
yes.
I think every other judge in the federal court. So
yes.
by Ryan's logic, it's actually totally constitutional and A-OK because it's just a norm, LOL, for the Senate to completely abdicate their duty to actually allow
yeah.
the president to nominate and then appoint the people that he wants to these positions, and they just never want to hear it because that's just like a clever little
yeah,
industry. And there's no historical examples of this, by the way. You can't find any besides a guy who was apparently on death's door. There's no examples of any understanding of our Constitution working this way. Nobody's thought this in the past. It's just a LOL cutesy norm violation, and the Democrats better not go further than the one that Ryan just admitted has no limiting principle yeah. on it, because now he's saying that for 4 years it's going to be the norm to never give a Supreme Court pick, which is definitionally not a limiting
okay.
principle. So
well,
it's just ridiculous.
Destiny said a bunch of stuff, so I'll have to pick apart the lies. In some order, I'll do my best to catch them all. The limiting
I've had a question here for like 15 minutes.
And Dev, I'm happy to, but I can't just be fucking yelled at and then
I
not
understand.
Respond.
I understand.
The limiting principle problem that I articulated is that failing to give advice and consent is inherently limited because you can't infinitely pack the court. You can't infinitely expand it. The reprisals are limited to reprisals in kind. Court packing leads to infinite court expansion, which is the lack of limiting principle that I'm concerned about, which is fundamentally different. By my count, there have been 5 times when a nomination lapsed for Supreme Court without being voted on. I agree they were shorter than Merrick Garland, but that does not change the fact that it is a thing that has happened before. One thing that presidents did to avoid
like
situations where you, no, you talked forever. Let me finish.
I haven't talked at all, brother. Destiny.
Well, okay, but if Destiny's going to,
I don't even sound like the guy.
If Destiny's going to spurge at points, I need to be able to answer them. And
sure, I'm just saying if you're, and I'll let you go. But if your argument is it's happened before, so is court expansion.
Yes. Because it's legal and a norm violation. You guys are not going to gaslight me out of not knowing what my point was. My point was it's legal and a norms violation. Destiny's batshit point is that it's unconstitutional to refuse advice and consent when it clearly is constitutional and there's no Supreme Court precedent to the contrary because Destiny's just fucking wrong. What's happening is Destiny's doing his classic move where he talks for fucking ever and then tries to gaslight people into having a different position than they held. But what I said at the beginning, which Destiny thought was fucking ludicrous, is that it's clearly constitutional for the Senate to deny advice and consent because they do it all the time, and it was a norm violation in regards Mitch McConnell, which is just correct. That's just factually accurate about what happened, but Destiny can't admit that because then he'd have to admit that he was wrong about something, which is fucking impossible.
Okay, I do want Dev to be able to answer, to ask his question. Dev, please.
Yeah, yeah. So from what I understand, because we have been going for several hours, you are very afraid of the continual escalation of one side packs, the other side packs one, and then it things get worse, basically.
Yeah, especially post the 14th Amendment, when the doctrine of substantive due process became a thing, and judges became much more willing to amend the Constitution from the bench, which led to the political process, the political nomination process, sorry, the nomination process getting more political, vis-a-vis Bork, but there's some other examples. And then that creates a backdoor.
Don't talk about Bork.
Okay, I will if I want, but that
it's
that,
not a good
which,
example for you.
Which creates a backdoor for constitutional amendment, which is the ultimate concern.
Okay, so here, hypothetically, okay? Let's say the Democrats do what I suggested. They pack the court to 13. They give themselves a majority, okay, because they've won in 2028, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say the 2032 election comes along and a Republican wins, okay? And now the Republicans have taken power again in 2032.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at a court that was packed, you know, 5 years previously by the Democrats.
Oh my God, this is such a good question.
So are you going to fire up a stream? Are you going to fire up a stream on your channel and say, hey, don't pack the court, Republicans, because there's an escalation here. You can't do it back to them. We have to stop this right now. Will you come out and say that in 5 years' time?
I think at that point we're in the end game.
No. Oh, it's such a good question, Dev. No. Oh, my God. That was such a good question.
That is the end game. That is the end game, Dev. I think that
End game when Democrats finally hit back. Understood.
No.
I laid out for the past two fucking hours. It's because you guys deserve it. You guys fucking deserve it. You need to be completely rolled over.
As I said earlier, there are certain load-bearing norms. This is one of them. If that norm goes, I think we're in big, big fucking trouble.
Why was such an important load-bearing norm not be in the Constitution? Why didn't the Founding Fathers write about this anywhere or talk about this at all?
Because when they wrote the Constitution, judicial review didn't exist.
So they had no concept of whether or not more people would be added to the Supreme Court or not. Why didn't any of the people amend the Constitution after Marbury v. Madison?
The Supreme Court didn't have the power to do this when they wrote the Constitution.
I understand. I know you repeat it. But after Marbury v. Madison, why didn't they amend the Constitution then to change this if it was so important? Most of the founding fathers for a while.
It is a really big deal. It is very important, but the problem didn't metastasize until after the 14th and the Doctrine of Substantive Due Process started to become articulated.
I just want to make this very clear, just for my edification.
Just to be clear, when
please.
He says substantive due process, he's mad about it, the abortion thing. It's already overturned, by the way.
But, no, but I'm mad about Wicker v. Filburn and Social Security, but that's not a topic.
What do you mean, Wick? Just to make it very, very clear for me and my audience, because I don't want to misconstrue or misinterpret what you said, your answer to Dev's question, right, is that if the Democrats pack the court, then you are okay with the Republicans packing the court in response.
If the norm is gone, the norm is gone. What do we do at that point? The norm's gone.
Okay, so their argument is that the norm is gone because of what McConnell did.
That's
their whole argument.
I understand. They're wrong.
So, obviously disagree with
The norm with Mitch McConnell was denial of advice and consent, not expanding the court.
And to be clear, the advice and consent, that's a thing that is way more founded in the Constitution than any absolute number of Supreme Court justices, of which is completely up to the Congress.
Now you're saying that their power to use advice and consent is found in the Constitution? A few minutes ago, you said it was unconstitutional for them to wield that power.
Unconstitutional for them to withhold that power because it is in there expressly. Yes. Welcome to the conversation, Ryan.
So,
Those are two opposite things.
So they have the power to advise and consent, but if they don't give their consent, it's unconstitutional. I don't understand.
Why did you just have two words in the first one and you left out one of them in the last one? If it is saying that they shall advise and consent the president when he makes his nominations. If they don't ever advise or consent, then yes, I would say that's an abdication for constitutional duties.
They said no. They said you're not getting your nomination.
Ryan, why do you keep saying this?
No.
Is that true?
You're lying, Ryan. You're lying right now. You are a liar.
No. I don't call him a liar. That's not true. He might be retarded.
Are you saying that Mitch McConnell didn't say that we're not going to vote on this guy? You're not going to get your nominee? He didn't say that?
They didn't vote no is the point.
They don't have to vote no. They just didn't give consent.
Listen. No, not giving consent is voting no. Not okay. giving consent so, is voting no. All right.
Let me lay it out. Stop. If I'm going to get fucking ganged up on, I'm going to at least get to talk.
You have been getting to talk. Dev hasn't. Dev has had the least amount of talking time in this whole thing.
I don't give a fuck. This isn't evil.
Let Dev lay it out real quick. He can size.
Nick, if you're going to set up a gang up panel, then
I didn't set up a gang up panel. The panel was over. This is the after show.
Okay. If you're going to have a gang up panel, then I'm going to talk more than
gang up. Bring a buddy.
I don't want to bring a buddy, bro. Bring a buddy. I didn't invite Destiny on the stream. This is just the guy who stalks me. So the point that I am making, if we can fucking get to it, often the Senate refuses to fill seats in lower courts because of blue slips. Often they just refuse to fill the seats because the blue slip process means that they're only going to fill it for certain people who have certain local ties. Is that unconstitutional also?
That's not even what that means. That's not what the blue slip rule is. And no, it's not unconstitutional because the entire Senate has agreed to it. And like basically the entire Senate agrees.
And if the Senate wanted to overrule Mitch McConnell, they could have. They didn't. He had the votes. If there was
extended seats that were going empty for I think they only use the blue slip rule for judges, right? If there were seats that were going, they might do it for prosecutors too. I don't know. I don't think it's for prosecutors. I think it's just for judges.
If there were
seats that were going empty for years or whatever at a time, then I think it would be worth revisiting that because I think that would be an abdication.
No. The question isn't whether it's worth revisiting. Is it unconstitutional for them?
The problem is, I said it would be worth revisiting. Yes, because they would be abdicating their constitutional duty to help.
Dev has tried to lay out his argument, and I want to give him a chance to lay out his argument. Dev, lay out your argument, please.
It actually left my brain after I heard.
That's why I don't want the filibuster because Dev, we love him. But he has a short-term memory problem. And if he doesn't get it out, sometimes. It just doesn't get it out. So it's elite debate tactics to avoid dealing with his point by just keep on talking until he forgets.
Okay, Dev, write it down next time. Okay, hypothetical. Let's say that the Democrats pack the court next time, and then the Republicans come in, and then you're not going to tell them not to pack the court, okay? And then the Republicans pack the court, so now we're up to 20 justices. 2036 comes around. And Dems are in office again. Are you going to be saying the Dems need to stop packing the court? Or are you going to say, well, it's the norm now, so we're all just packing the court?
The norm's gone. What the fuck do you want for me to say? Like, if the norm's gone, the norm's gone. Now it's just political knife fights. I think that's a shitty place to be. And I think that we can avoid it. That's the whole
position. Can you tell me why,
for
the states that have expanded their Supreme Court, some of which have happened recently, why haven't they had 500 members on their state Supreme Courts?
Well, it's happened recently would be the first thing you just said. And the question is, do you think that if the Democrats take power in those states, they're not going to try to repack them?
I don't know. I haven't seen it happen.
I mean, because it just started happening.
People like you come and try to beat the rules you guys never play by.
In Virginia, they were making efforts to pack their court. We'll see if they do. It looks like they might not. I don't know, but I think that I think once you start these tit for tat games, there's going to be escalation. Gerrymandering had escalation. Political prosecutions has had escalation. We live in an escalatory time. I don't see why there wouldn't be escalation.
What do you think would happen if the Democrats did pack the court, say by four justices, and then in 2032, the Republicans come out and they say, "Hey, this is not good. Let's stop." Do you think the Democrats continue on a rampage, or do you think that would actually stop the escalatory cycle?
I don't think the cycle stops at that point. I think that once you're in it, you're in it. And
So Republicans can never stop it. Only Democrats can. Republicans get to infinitely escalate, and then Democrats are the ones that have to stop it. This particular
norm hasn't been violated yet. It once it gets violated, it's very, very hard to stop these cycles. You know, it just is. I've been openly arguing that the Republicans should stop doing political prosecutions. It's very, very hard to convince anybody on the right to stop doing them.
Well, because there's a cycle. Just if I may, it's because the things that the right says that they care about, they actively don't. These are all post hoc rationalizations. They're going to do whatever they can, whatever they have the power to. And I'm not talking all Republicans, but the majority of MAGA right now, I want to be very clear with what I'm saying. The majority of MAGA right now, again, everything that you were worried about Pisco doing and called tyrannical Trump is advocating for or trying to do, or you have admitted he probably would.
They have the
and the filibuster,
had...
pack the court, political prosecutions, all these things.
The only limiting thing
to Trump isn't principles. It's thankfully that we do have a constitution that is mostly intact. That's the limit right now. It's not a principle thing. The point that I'm making,
Wick, is that the terrible Republicans control the Senate and the House and the presidency. So if they had the will to do the terrible, terrible things that we are openly talking about the Democrats doing, they could just fucking do them. They have all the power right now.
And the Democrats had that before. And if the terrible Democrats wanted to do that, they would have done it, but they didn't. The argument works both ways, Ryan. Why don't you see this?
As a clear civics thing,
I'm talking to people who are advocating for doing the tyrannical thing. That's the problem, Wick. I'm talking to people who are saying, yes, we should do the tyrannical thing. And I'm saying, no, you shouldn't.
It's not tyranny.
So when I point to the fact that the Republicans aren't doing that thing, what I'm saying is that whatever you might think of them, they actually, as a group, do think, seem to think the filibuster is worth preserving.
They would absolutely break the filibuster. Trump's going to be out of office by the time any of this happens. The only reason why we're adhering to norms in whatever way we are is because Trump is too stupid to even utilize his Congress. That's why they don't want to break the filibuster. Trump is literally paralleling every part of the federal government in the White House. Trump wants to run every single thing out of the White House. Why would Republicans acquiesce to shattering the filibuster when Trump is too stupid to even champion legislation? He got his big tax cuts through. They can use budget reconciliation for funding the government. And then that's it. There's no reason for them to really break the filibuster.
They could do the thing that you suggested the Democrats should do earlier. They break Texas into like five or six states. They recognize a bunch of islands as states.
These guys can't even get indictments approved by a grand jury. These guys are not going to be adding states to the United States of America.
This is the moral high ground that you're landing on.
What the moral high ground is the salvation of our democracy.
Because
I am advocating a liberal party.
Let's be clear. I'm advocating for not breaking more norms. You're advocating for breaking more norms because Republicans are bad and stupid.
Well, I'm not sure what the moral high ground is. Every norm has been broken. They break the filibuster when they need to.
I have not seen the filibuster stands, and I have not seen the Supreme Court change size.
Did they have 60 or whatever when Gorsuch was confirmed?
Are you asking, are there targeted filibuster breaks? Yeah, there's been targeted filibuster breaks.
I can't. I'll lose my mind. I'm sorry. Good luck.
thanks for calling in. Let me speed run these. I know we got to go, and if you have to go, I understand. Gang, where can you find Ryan? Where can they find you if they want to find you?
Am I not asking my question, I guess?
Oh.
Not that it matters anymore, I guess.
It's late, and I want to give. Yeah. Ask your question.
Oh, wait, Ryan, we can't hear you.
Ryan.
Okay.
We couldn't hear you at all.
This is what Destiny does. He cyberstalks me from behind a blacklist, makes the point that it is unconstitutional for the Senate to deny advice and consent, which no one in the universe who's a legal scholar or anyone thinks is true, gets caught on it, doubles back, claims that I'm wrong for calling a norm violation, and then tries to optics farm and leave the conversation, which is every conversation I have with this motherfucker. Then from behind the blacklist, he'll be like, oh God, that guy's bad faith. Fuck that guy.
I did ask you if you wanted every conversation with Destiny.
Okay,
I did ask you if it was okay before I brought him on. Just want that on the record.
I let him call into my show, Wick, too. I'm just calling out how these conversations go.
On the Ryan Mullally thing you did with him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. You know, whatever there. We don't need to get into a lot of it. But whenever you're in those conversations and you bring up the Mitch McConnell, he delayed or didn't have the congressional discussion around consent or whatever for Obama picks. Okay. Ryan makes the like, oh yes, that was norm breaking. But like, did he ever acknowledge, or have you ever been in a debate like this where they acknowledge like, oh, this is why McConnell did it, right? Like McConnell very clearly did it to deny a Supreme Court pick to the Democrats, right? Like, and they acknowledge that.
Yeah,
right?
But his argument is that, like, it's, I don't know how to describe this. I don't know if there's a word in philosophy. Well, in philosophy, you'd call it sophistry, or in English or in law. But it's just like, it's just when you have the most retard accessible readings of what's written somewhere. And it's like, well, with the advice and consent of the Senate could mean that they actually don't ever have to hear a thing ever. And that's actually, that's their advice and consent. And it's just like fucking retarded. I if that's going to be the reading that you're going to take on things, I just don't know what to ever fucking say to you, which was his, I don't know how much you listened to it, but that was his thing at the end. Right. And yeah, and people right. don't realize it, but like that same clause is also the one that gives you like all of your cabinet level officials, all the president's officers. And I think I asked him, I was like, so are you saying that it wouldn't be like unconstitutional if the Congress just literally for 4 years wouldn't allow the president of the United States to have hearings on any cabinet level officials? And he was like, well, no, I don't think it would be unconstitutional. It would just be norm violating. But it's cringe. I don't know. I hate that guy. He's a fucking evil piece of shit.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I was just making sure on it because I think that the way that it was the arguments that they're coming from is just kind of that like very like, well, my norms are the important special norms that must be loved and cherished, and the norms that you care about don't matter. And then also just the like, well, this was McConnell's motivation was entirely partisan.
Yeah,
it was done to deny that thing, but if you do this partisan thing and deny us what we want, then that's really bad. So
yeah.
Okay.
And the fact that he called it load bearing to pass legislation to change the balance of the court, that's a load bearing norm that would destroy the country, but just the Congress just never letting the president actually, you know, appoint anybody, it's fucking retarded. I don't know, but also, I mean, like I say retarded, but he could be a Supreme Court justice. It sounds like Alito, right? So, you know, who the fuck knows?
I mean, and it's kind of the thing where it's like, well, I mean, you can call it load bearing, but it's allowed under the Constitution. So if you guys want to make a fight out of it, go ahead. Like it's kind of that thing where it's just like, I don't know. It's really frustrating whenever people will talk about these norms and things like that. And it's like, well, I mean, like at the end of the day, McConnell under the Constitution is allowed to do that. I agree with you that he shouldn't be, and there should be a fight about it. And we see what happens, right? Things like that, like where it's like, I think this is an issue. I think it should be addressed. I think that is part of the reforms that need to happen.
I don't actually even know if I would agree with you there. I don't know the standing for how you would bring that case, or I don't know what it would look like.
No. I'm saying a Congress should amend that needs to be a constitutional amendment, or there needs to be a codified process where there are requirements and deadlines and things like that.
Yeah, that's just what I'm not sure because if I were to go read the Constitution cover to cover, my guess is I could find a lot of like retarded fucking phrases like that where it's like,
sure.
Well, it says they have to do this thing, but it doesn't say by when, so they could do it never.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that
the Second Amendment? Yeah.
It's like, this is one of those things. I don't want to live in that country. If my Constitution has to be written, like it can be ran through a fucking C compiler to be understood. Otherwise it's going to be abused. That's fucking retarded. And I just don't think you can even write law that well that you can cover for every single possible retarded reading of English.
I think I'm going to push back a little bit on you on that.
Good.
Like, I think I understand what you're saying, but it's like, okay, well, this is a foundational document of like the most powerful country on the planet. I think it's okay if we have a, like, if the version of the Constitution that comes out after all this is fucking 20,000 pages long and hyper specific in every single way, it's like, I think that's appropriate considering the level of power that we are granting people, apparently.
Yeah, but also, you know? I mean, this is also, we have the longest surviving constitution of a foundational constitution of any country on the planet. So it's worked this well so far without having to put like a fucking asterisk and 470 qualifiers behind every single fucking statement. So they had something, right? So
sure.
Like, you don't think we should have to do an amendment that like if a Supreme Court nominee is chosen by the president, that they have to be seen within like 120 days or at least voted on?
Well, I'll say this. I don't even know if I think that the Congress should approve like Supreme Court picks. If they don't like, to me, I think it's more of the president should seat them. And if the Congress doesn't like them and doesn't think they should be on there, then fucking impeach them. I don't know why it's kind of a redundant process and just creates stupid gaps like these. If we're saying, well, the Senate has to hear and consent and bullshit. Like, why? If they don't like him, just fucking impeach him.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like that. Like I think there's a lot of these like weird little like gaps and redundancies.
No, I mean like I think it's fine. It should be that the president should be allowed to choose his cabinet. They come in. This has worked for so long. This is just one of those things where it's like, why are we thinking about rewriting all the rules because of Trump and the retards that came in under Trump? Like it's
I don't know. It's just crazy to me. And like I said, I'm pretty sure I could go through and read so many. Like, what is it, the 22nd Amendment or whatever? For the two-term thing?
Yeah.
Like, this has the same language as that is Section 4 or whatever. When it says, like, no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, are we going to have an argument over whether or not people could put Trump on the ballot the third time? Because that's what logically followed from the Section 3 case. Was it Trump v. Anderson or whatever?
Those arguments are happening.
Yeah, right, so like now. This is retarded. Yeah. Like, we would have to go back to the Constitution and the document would be 10 times as long and we'd have to rewrite everything. Like, well, it says no person shall be elected. It doesn't say that states can't keep him off the ballot. And it doesn't say that we couldn't vote for him. Maybe like we would have to impeach him if it means like who, like it's just that's I'm sorry. I'm sympathetic to your position. I understand what you're saying. I just like at some point we can't, there's no way we could write rules for everything. This is like the, do you have any siblings? You don't have to answer that. But like I grew up with a little sister. Okay. We've been not allowed to hit each other. All right. But my parents never gave us a specified volumetric distance that we had to remain from one another, okay? So what I did was I would walk up to her and I would put my finger right in front of her face and I'd go, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. Now, should my mom have said, Steven, your finger has to be at least 12 inches or 2 feet away from your sister? Like, no, it's just me being bad faith as fuck, right?
Sure.
Like, I don't know how many rules you can write to obstruct people that are that desperate to read things that poorly. Sorry, I just rambled.
Even
so much
in the fucking Discord community, like you can't write all the rules that are going to come up.
Sure.
It becomes retarded.
Well, I agree. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this has been your position for a long time. I don't disagree. And you are right to a degree that if there are enough bad faith people, that's how it's going to go. But what I would say is there's also a certain amount of like built in mechanisms that you can have that make it so that the amount of bad faith you need to do that is much higher than what, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I understand like, what you're saying, so but we have
right
these mechanisms.
Now, I'm saying the threshold, I'm saying right now that mm-hmm. threshold is low.
Sure.
Saying, as far as governments goes, our threshold for the amount of bad faith you need to abuse our government is too low. And these rules are not going to make it where bad faith actors can't ever do what they're doing now, but it's going to put it much higher. And with other things that we do outside of the government to make changes in our society, we can make it where it's almost eliminated. And you can't totally eliminate it.
Maybe.
But
maybe what we need to do.
I'm not done.
Go.
Done.
Yeah, they go. Keep going. Go talk about it.
It's happening once every 250 years. Maybe it happens once every 2,000 years. And you know what? I would rather live in a society that has to deal with a fascist government once every 2,000 years instead of once every 250 years. And I think that's more of the goal. The goal is not to never let this happen again. It's to make it where for this to happen, the perfect storm has to be so much more perfect than what it already is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the better goal than just saying like it'll never happen again.
Sure. Maybe I don't completely disagree. You know, there's one thing that Ryan said in combination with another thing that actually did, you know, make me think, and that was that we didn't have judicial review when the Constitution was written, right?
Right.
Maybe that plus the emergence of political parties, maybe that does necessitate us going back to the drawing board, having like a second constitutional Congress or whatever. But I mean, like in today's age, Jesus fucking Christ, who would be writing that thing? But I don't know. Maybe judicial review plus the existence of political parties is a challenge that I guess is very difficult for the structure of our government to overcome. I don't know.
I very much agree with that. I think that these are very major aspects of our political system that aren't contemplated and are not compensated for. And I think it's totally fine for us to address that in the same way that going back and looking at free speech rights and saying, okay, well, let's look at that versus a world in which these media structures exist with AI or, you know, firearm rights exist in relation to, you know, modern weaponry and the way that these things are regulated or the way that federalism works with the states and the way the governments are right now. Uh-huh. I think those are all things that are like really important to address because so long as we keep them in these outdated modes, the threshold for bad faith actors is far too low and far too easy for them to get into these positions to where they can allow for this amount of rampant corruption and fascism.
Sure. So, wait, hold on 1 second. Two of my monitors just shut off. I don't know if it's storming outside. Hold on 1 second.
Oh my gosh.
Nah.
Okay. Don't worry. Mr. Mouton and I will entertain them. Mr. Mouton, how's your bath going?
Oh, I got out. I've been out since, I don't know, like an hour.
No,
I'm just chilling. Being chilling, even. What about you? How are you doing? How was work?
Work's going good. I'm almost done. I had some clients just pop up with like some random, like, hey, we received this. They sent this letter to us on the 8th and we just got it today and the deadline's coming up. And it's like, oh.
My work was pretty strenuous.
Yeah, you seem like you got a lot on your mind.
Yeah. Not even any cops left today.
Brutal. I didn't get to, I didn't call in on the whole banning social media thing. I left that to the
thoughts.
It's good.
I agree.
I saw some very limited personal or like anecdotes from people from Australia that are like, hey, we've had this for a little while and it's pretty great.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to look into it and how it's gone, actually, because I don't, I mean, it's still pretty new. It's like 6 months old, maybe a little longer.
Yeah. What I saw was people going like, yeah, like the kids that really want to get around it, that happens. But like the majority of kids just kind of found other shit to do and they seem happier. And I'm like, yeah, that I can believe that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I've always been pretty anti. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of an extremist when it comes to online like regulation and stuff like that. Like, I don't think you should be able to be anonymous on the internet.
True. Agreed.
Stuff like that.
Like, I think we're going to need, like, probably 5+ years until we start, like, knowing what the stuff in Australia has done to, like, kids.
I agree, but to me, it's just how much of a benefit has it been? I cannot imagine a scenario where they're, like, actually them not having social media when they're 9 just absolutely fucked them.
It's really fucked everything up. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
So, sorry, I had to jump in because it's also British politics, right? But.
Yeah.
I'm glad to
ask a British person about it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't mind Americans talking about British politics, so I hope I can talk
about it. Well, you guys talk enough about our fucking politics. Yeah,
no, are you sure it's enough? I mean, I can talk more about it if you want.
But... no, well, I think it's a great step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course the children are gonna complain, but I mean you just have to look at the studies on it.
Oh, and, like, you mean non-voters? Because that's all I'm hearing. Is well, non-voters are complaining.
Yeah, but the future voters, we do have to be a bit careful about it. But
No. By the time they're voters, they get their social media, they won't care. Trust me.
They won't give a fuck.
As a lawyer that took the bar, and while prepping for the bar and taking the bar, I was like, this is bullshit. The minute I saw that I passed the bar, I was like, fuck them kids. They can take the bar. I got mine. I don't give a shit. But yeah. So.
Yeah, but I mean, even if they were to care, like politics isn't... Sometimes it's about taking, you know, that's what political capital is all about, right? Sometimes you have to make the bold decisions and accept that it may not be brilliant for your votes in your next election, but some things are more important. And if you look at the studies on it, it's absolutely insane about the effect on mental health and learning and concentration. And like the interview that you shared, Kafka, was a really, really good one with the children. And she says, well, I'm just going to start staring at a wall. It's like, she's just proven the point. Like, they don't even have the imagination to think of what else to do. Isn't that a sign that, like, there's just way too much screen time going on at the weekends and, like, lack of hobbies? And so I think this is a great move. And Starmer's been, he's been cooking. Like, the, you know.
I mean, I keep seeing pictures of him looking disheveled in a car late at night, and I'm being told that this is some kind of, like, doom on his career, and then he keeps coming out doing based shit like this, and I'm like, god damn. I mean,
his comms have improved. His comms have improved. There's lots of good things going. It's not just the policy. Like, the policy's been good anyway. And then there's the incident. Like, it's been shown that there's a link with someone set fire to his house, and it's now linked with Russia.
It's
shown like how screwed up that is. And I don't get this. Like, why is our media, when things like that happen? Like, this is like treasonous. This is like a potentially attempt on the leader's life. I mean, it's extreme. And okay, it's good the BBC reports it now, but are they going to report it in a week, in a month? What about other outlets? Like, I just feel like the priorities sometimes are a bit very, very skew with in the media, and whether it's the conventional media or it's online platforms. And you know, this is a bit of a good segue to have a debate tomorrow on WIC, right? On platform legislating platform, and it's. Yeah, I'm hoping it will be a constructive debate.
Who are you going to be debating with? He asked, setting him up.
Yeah, well, it's against Episco and...
oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, I haven't debated him before, so hopefully it's all going to be, you know, in good faith, right? And then I've got Stell 2000 on my side. Yeah, I appreciate any questions if you jump in at the end. I think it's going to be interesting. It's a question of, I don't want to kind of give too much away to what will be discussed or how we will discuss it. But there's a lot of questions. And of course, it'll reflect upon the American Constitution. I think not doing so is a bit blind, because it's, of course, also about how it could be applied in the US. I didn't catch last night, actually, but you guys have been discussing sounds really, really interesting. Can you just clarify what your point was again, Kafka?
Well, it's just that I think where it boils down to is that people are clutching pearls over these different norms, and specifically around the court packing norm about how we shouldn't do it. And then Destiny was bringing up, oh, well, McConnell and them, they broke a norm by not seating the Obama nomination. And it's, to me, it's a, we need to stop having norms, essentially, in our government. We need to have a codified and defined government. Yeah, we just need to have a codified and defined process for all this stuff. If there are norms so much, if there's something that you can describe as a load-bearing norm, that should be a law. That should be an oxymoron. A load-bearing norm should be an oxymoron. There should not be norms that, if broken, would cause a civil war. That doesn't make any sense. And the deal is that Ryan and people like him want us to live in this place. People that support fascism and regimes like that, they want as many gaps and gray spaces in government so they can abuse it and change it and do it however they want while they are in power. And then whenever they're not in power, go, oh, wait a minute, actually, there's all these norms that are being broken. And if you break them, then I'm going to start a civil war to protect what's truly American. This space that's being left open, and then even whenever they're challenged on it, Ryan admits, okay, yeah, that was norm breaking. He admits, if you guys pack the court, then we're going to not uphold the norm either, and we're going to pack the court, right? Like, they're just nakedly admitting that they don't even give a shit about these norms. They're just using them to promote their partisan power, and that whatever comes after this, we need to remove as much of that gray space as we can.
I mean, this is exactly where tit for tat works. And they're setting the precedent, and you respond with the same actions. And you say, well, you're just getting the reflection in the mirror. You know, if you don't want to see the reflection in the mirror, then turn away.
Well, apparently tit for tat's always an escalation. I learned that yesterday.
It has to be an escalation. Yeah. It has to be, right? Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd be eye for an eye.
Well,
yeah.
And it allows the other party to lead on everything, right? So they're only going to fight when it's advantageous to them. This is why I keep trying to push back on people who make this argument that, like, okay, fine, McConnell got one justice over you guys, then you guys can take one justice. The problem isn't taking the justice. The problem is the balance of the court. Of course, they're willing to give us one justice. They're up. It's 6-3. Like, if we got one point, then it would be 5-4 still in their favor. So that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything for us. They're not actually giving anything there. Yeah.
It's tokenistic. It's not actually going to change substantially the situation as they change for themselves.
Well, and also, it's really easy to for them in the moment to go, okay, we're gonna make them give up a Supreme Court justice, and at some point in the future, we might have to give up one of ours. That's always a beneficial trade. It's always beneficial to take now and pay later. Right. No matter what you do. Right. Like that's just a basic, easy thing. So if in their minds, if the worst thing that can happen is later, they're going to just have to pay back whatever they did now. Well, that's fine. They get the benefit of whatever they get now until that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Also,
it's questionable if they're going to pay it back.
They've shown that they're not trustworthy. They'll make excuses for everything. Yeah, you know, like Ryan was a microcosm last night of the Republican Party. Right. When he was like, what do you mean? Nobody, the filibuster's still there. And I'm like, they literally blew up the filibuster for Gorsuch. He's like, what did he say? I had to leave. He said, that was a targeted filibuster break. I couldn't after that point. I was like, get the fuck out of here. You're so fucking bad faith. You fucking retard.
Tactical filibuster.
So fucking retarded, bro.
And it's if we're going to just like, if they're going to like straight face say those things to us, great. Okay. Like say our argument, like make the same arguments back to them. And if they're going to pro clutch and all this shit, just go tough shit. I don't care. And like, we don't need to justify it after that. Look, that's it. This is our justification. If you have a problem with it, go campaign and try to win. Otherwise, fuck off.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, they've had like, I mean, it goes back always to the Bush era. Like they've had, you know, goodwill on the part of Democrats, and they've just spat at the Democrats every time they've done it. So now you can preempt that they're going to act in bad faith way anyway. So you might as well act in a resistive, non-cooperative way before that. So at least you get some friction in the system, right? Against their actions. And this is a little bit more balanced, because otherwise they're going to act that way anyway. I mean, Newsom seems pretty good. Like, if you listen to what he says these days, like, he recognizes it. You know, he's just fed up with you know, with Republicans, and he knows it's a fight now. You know, that's the way it has to be, and it's their choice.
Newsom's getting investigated again, or now, I guess.
So that's because Democrats already broke the norms. Remember when Biden was forcing the DOJ personally
to investigate his son?
Of all the things, I don't know, Kafka, if you feel any differently, of all the things that Pisco says that actually unironically triggers the fuck out of me more than the Hunter Biden shit, have you ever heard Pisco do this thing where he's like, well, you know, there is evidence that Biden was pressuring Merrick Garland because there were reports from the New York Times one day that Biden was upset with Merrick Garland because he felt like he was moving slow on things.
I think I remember this.
This is one of the most...
He was saying that,
oh, my God.
They were arguing, and Biden was like upset that Merrick Garland wasn't acting fast enough. And that is equivalent to Trump tweeting out who the DOJ should be going after, right? Or it's not, or it's like in the same category. So there's this kind of like, you know, balance that's apparently occurring because of it. Yeah. Oh, he asked me a question and then left. Jesus.
Who didn't?
You know who never did that to me? Ryan Mullally.
Yeah, because he can't walk. I listen to music. I put you on speaker. Fuck you. Okay.
Well, I hope Pisco answers me tomorrow anyway, because I want to have a good faith. I want to have a good faith debate with him, and he better answer straight and not just for the bust of what I have to say. But
if he asks you yes or no, you got to answer though.
Watch out! I talked to him. I got a lot of guns to my head. He kept saying "gun to your head," Kafka. He kept doing that to me. So careful.
Well, I'm in Europe, so he can't do that. But...
No guns.
Yeah. Right, guys, I got to get on a call. It was fun. Good chatting with everybody. Good rest of the day.
It goes back always to the Bush era. Like they've had, you know, goodwill on the part of Democrats, and they've just spat at the Democrats every time they've done it. So now you can preempt that they're going to act in bad faith way anyway. So you might as well act in a resistive, non-cooperative way before that. So at least you get some friction in the system, right? Against their actions, and this is a little bit more balanced, because otherwise they're going to act that way anyway. I mean, Newsom seems pretty good. Like, if you listen to what he says these days, like he recognizes it. You know, he's just fed up with, you know, with Republicans, and he knows it's a fight now. That's the way it has to be, and it's their choice.
Newsom's getting investigated again, or now, I guess.
So that's because Democrats already broke the norms. Remember when Biden was forcing the DOJ personally
to investigate his son?
Of all the things, I don't know, Kafka, if you feel any differently, of all the things that Pisco says that actually unironically triggers the fuck out of me more than the Hunter Biden shit, have you ever heard Pisco do this thing where he's like, well, you know, there is evidence that Biden was pressuring Merrick Garland because there were reports from the New York Times one day that Biden was upset with Merrick Garland because he felt like he was moving slow on things?
I think I remember this.
This is one of the most...
He was saying that,
oh my God.
They were arguing, and Biden was like upset that Merrick Garland wasn't acting fast enough. And that is equivalent to Trump tweeting out who the DOJ should be going after, right? Or it's not, or it's like in the same category. So there's this kind of like, you know, balance that's apparently occurring because of it. Yeah. Oh, he asked me a question and then left. Jesus.
Who didn't?
You know who never did that to me? Ryan Mullally.
Yeah, because he can't walk. I listen to music. I put you on speaker. Fuck you. Okay.
I hope Pisco answers me tomorrow anyway, because I want to have a good faith. I want to have a good faith debate with him, and he better answer straight and not just for the bust of what I have to say. But
if he asks you yes or no, you got to answer though.
Watch out! I talked to him. I got a lot of guns to my head. He kept saying "gun to your head," Kafka. He kept doing that to me. So careful.
Well, I'm in Europe, so he can't do that. But...
No guns.
Yeah. Right, guys, I got to get on a call. It was fun. Good chatting with everybody.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.